Bulldog Live continues here on the Pulse at 1-866-823-1077 on this snowy Monday afternoon, where Bob Clegg and Phil Blatzos made it in, you know, weathered the traffic on 93 to make their way here to our studios, talking about the Small Business and Small Industry Association. You know, there was a blurb that I saw this morning, and it says the only businesses with a higher IRS audit rate in 2009 than 2000 are small businesses. The audit rate of larger businesses is lower in 2009 than in 2000. There's a couple interesting dynamics that can come out of this. Which one of you want to go first?
Oh, I'd love to take this one. No, okay. I actually did look at that. I didn't see that article, so that article's new to me, but I was actually looking at the audit rates because they do have those.
Uh-huh.
They're published by the IRS and also the issues. And the issue here is one of the major issues is small corporations aren't paying themselves enough because they're avoiding payroll taxes and getting the flow-through income, so they're paying less federal taxes. And so the IRS is going in and telling them to take more compensation. Now the state's going to be coming in and telling them to take less compensation. Won't this be fun? Talk about a rock in a hard place, the IRS and the DRA. You could actually come up with two different audit results, one saying you pay yourself too much and one saying you pay yourself too little. This is going to be just wonderful for small business. Who do they fight first? And can they ever get the state and the federal government to fight each other and maybe just go with the winner?
That never happens. And too many cases, the states do not fight the federal government either.
No. You know, the state's tax is based upon the federal form. And so so federal law often becomes the final determinant factor. So here we're going in opposite directions. It also, you know, over the years, and one of the reasons why I jumped onto the SBSIA was seeing how, you know, the lobbyists and the big business association affected small business. The tax laws have slowly but inexorably been tilted towards the big guys, all right? And they really have been. I mean, there was one president of one major corporation was interviewed a while ago, and he said that most states you could drive a truck through their tax laws. And that's big business, and they're talking about it, and we saw it, and we, of course, had a lot of audit effort going into those 5% businesses because we did have those issues.
Mm-hmm.
Now, slowly but surely, it's shifting the other way. But over time, all of the tax laws have been put in to benefit the big businesses, all right? And I'll give you just one example. You know, when we changed the apportionment factor, it used to be three equal weights, sales, payroll, and property. You look at the sales everywhere and the payroll in the sales here, payroll everywhere here, you know, everything everywhere in here and make a fraction out of it and add them together, and they were three equally weighted factors. Well, we went to double-weighted sales, all right? That saved big business because this doesn't impact small business at all, has no impact at all. Well, that saved big business between $6 and $9 million a year out of those business profits tax, which is, what, $250 to $300 million a year? That knocked $6 to $9 million. Guess what? That meant the total tax burden was shifting towards the little guy, all right, because when their percentage of the total, which didn't change at all, and the other guy's percentage was going down. But you look at all of these things. You look at the big breaks given to insurance companies by lowering the insurance premium tax. By the way, I was at the hearing when they said not one dime of this would be passed on to you, the consumer, or the people who bought insurance. But we lower their rate by $25 million a year, give them credits upon credits, all right, that cascades up to well over $30 million a year break for big business. They tell us they're going to bring in all these jobs. All you have to do is look at the Employment Security website and look at their data every year and see, well, those jobs haven't grown. So there's another $30 million. But more and more, the tilt has been towards the big guy and hurting the little guy. And that's one of the reasons why I got involved in this is because I do believe in a level playing field, but you got to look at everything and make it really level.
Exactly. And, you know, it's the little guy who doesn't have the resources to fight back. And that is where you, Senator Clegg, got into it with the commissioner.
Well,
I
had actually gotten into it with a group of DRA employees in the hallway. And I said, you're not going after the big guy. You're using the little guy because you want to raise money. And I kept on it. And I said, you give me the names or prove to me that you're hitting the big guys. And they finally relented and said, you're right. We're not going after the big guy. We're not going after Fidelity or Liberty Mutual because they have more money and more lawyers. So by the time we got done fighting them, we would actually not make any money chasing the money they owe us. So, you know, there's a perfect example. What this is nothing more than extortion by your government. The government comes in and says, give me $10,000. And you say, I don't owe it to you. And they say, well, you got a choice. Give us 10. Or call your lawyer and see what it's going to cost. You call your lawyer, and your lawyer says, geez, by the time we get done fighting, it's going to be $8,000 anyways in my fees. So you look at the Department of Revenue, and they go, okay, give me 8. That's extortion. No matter how you look at it, that's extortion, and that's what's happening. And they're coming in and they're doing their audits, and they are hitting you with the business profits tax first, and then when the money comes out, they're tacking another 5. That's 13.5%, no matter how you look at it, and they don't care because you can't afford to say no. Because if you say no, they'll just shut you down.
Yeah, that's certainly what could happen, isn't it? 1-866-823-1077.
And you know, one of the things that I think is, by the way, I will always defend the people at the Department of Revenue. I'm not going to defend any of these statements or anything else, but I'll always defend them. I worked there for 32 years. I was the commissioner. I honestly believe that they're honest people trying to do the best job they can. You know, unfortunately, this is a very bad law. So I wouldn't hang it on the individuals. I'd hang it on the people who passed this law and tell them, repeal it now.
The people who passed it in the middle of the night without a hearing, without even any thought going into this, as which we go back to what you said early on in our conversation today. And that was, you know, the purpose of public hearings is to find the flaws, you know, find the big gaping holes. Because when you have a lot of people show up reading this, they say, wait a minute, what about this? And that gives them the chance to correct the situation.
But I still have a copy of the letter that the BIA sent out to the senators, and they applaud themselves because they fought to keep the BET credit against the BPT. That was for big business.
That was a proposal that Lynch wanted to take that away.
He wanted to suspend it for a year. Mm-hmm. And the business enterprise tax, again, is only paid by a certain amount of people. But obviously, the more employees you have, the more you pay. But one's an offset against the other. So it becomes an income tax that once you don't get the offset. Now, they fought for that. The small guy doesn't pay very much BET. But you know what? They fought to keep the tax credit for the insurance premium. Now, I don't know if people understood what Phil said, but most companies, you pay the business profits tax, and the business enterprise tax is basically a tax on payroll. One gets washed against the other. But if you're in the insurance business, you also get to collect the premium tax from me. It's in my bill. It's a insurance premium tax. And then you get to deduct it against your obligation under the business profits after you've deducted the business enterprise tax. So you want to talk about protecting the big guy in the state of New Hampshire. And I'm not anti-insurance. I'm just saying that I'm pro-small business. Instead of giving them an additional reduction in what they have to pay for taxes, they're getting it out of my pocket anyway. How about the little guy that created the jobs? When I look at what they've done, they admit that they did whatever they could. Now, they thought that they fought against the capital gains tax, but in essence, this is a capital gains tax. This tax is a capital gains tax. It was snuck in there, even though everybody says, oh, it doesn't exist, and Phil can probably explain that to you a lot more. But the whole point is BIA admits in its letter to the Senate, we did the best we could for the big businesses in the state of New Hampshire. And that's why we're here.
Oh, you know, we got to talk about this capital gain.
I got something to say about BIA.
this is a good one. They actually wrote a letter to the BIA. I got a copy of the letter. Right to know request to the Department of Revenue. Actually, former commissioner made a right to know request. Hey, guess what? But anyway, I made a right to know request to the department to get a hold of the letter, and it was a public letter. And I got it right away. There's no question about it. And I got it right away, and I read it, and it said that capital gains would be exempt, and they looked at mutual companies, you know, where you get capital gains distribution passed through. They don't tax you onto the IND, and that's correct. They say right in there capital gains won't be taxed. And then I turn around and I look at the bill, and the calculation to determine the profits for the company includes capital gains. And I'm sitting there saying, wait a minute, you said over here it wasn't going to be taxed.
Is it written in plain language like that?
Oh, it's written in very plain language. I don't know if I have a copy of the letter with me. Oh, here it is. Here it is. Oh, well, leave it to Bob to come up with the copy of the letter.
I'm an information broker.
Wait a minute. Distributions that are a return of capital to the shareholders or interest holder of the business should be excluded from the interest and dividends tax. And then when they actually do the calculations, it's included. Ha, ha, ha. Capital gains distribution should be excluded. That was item 3. Item 4 is capital gains distribution should be excluded from the interest and dividends tax. That's the top line. I guess that's pretty clear. I mean, it was pretty clear to me. But yet, when the actual distribution was done, when they actually did the calculation, capital gains is included. So it's 180 degrees out. I think this may be the only legislative intent out there because there was no public hearing. You can't hear what anybody had to say. You can't hear what the legislators had to say. All you have is this one letter. And it clearly says that no capital gains, and yet capital gains are taxed in this.
And remember the mortgage refinance tax that the governor was very supportive of, trying to get in that the last minute too during the committee of conference, and that didn't go through. But yet we have a version of that in this LLC tax too.
Yeah. Oh, this is particularly onerous. The fact is, if you have a small business, all right, let's say the guy who has the garage or whatever he has business there, and he wants to buy his build, you know, he may be working out of his garage now. He wants to buy a bigger shop, and he goes to his accountant, his accountant and lawyer say, hey, put that building in a separate LLC because, you know, for legal protection purposes, and everybody does it, and everybody tells you to do it, and I don't, big companies, small companies. So this little guy goes out and buys the building, and he takes the operating capital out of his current company and loans it to this new corporation to do it.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to pay the 5% on it. Isn't that just peachy keen? Now, let me give you the big guy. Here along comes the big corporation, spins off another corporation, does the identical transaction, all right? And let's say he's really big. He's operating in all 50 states. And he files what we call a combined tax return. A unitary business, they file one tax return, essentially eliminate all intercompany transactions. So they pay zero. It's wiped out because it's an intercompany transaction. Little guy pays, big guy walks, but sure, this is fair.
Yeah, that's fair, and that's closing the loophole, right?
Well,
isn't that what the governor told us?
Well, it's called closing the competition loophole. It was a loophole where somebody actually might be able to compete with them, and a big industry association took care of that.
Now, the Business and Industry Association, I've taken them to task too on the air because I talked with them quite a few times during the last session of the legislature. And their first thing was, you know, first, do no harm. That was their message to the legislators. And they were opposing all these taxes that were coming down the pike. No mention of LLC tax until the very end, because, again, it was slipped in the middle of the night. BIA then supported the budget. And they said the reason why we're supporting this budget is because of what it didn't have, the capital gains tax and a number of other things. And yeah, then I saw them testify at the public hearing, say, we didn't support the law for the LLC tax. Yes, you did. You supported House Bill 2, which contained this tax. And then they say, and they told me, Jim Roche, the president of the BIA, told me in an interview right after his testimony, saying, we're on the cusp, but we're not quite there yet on calling for a repeal of this tax. Then the very next day, I see a piece by Richard Samuels, the chairman-elect of the Business and Industry Association, defending this tax and why it's necessary to have it. So I don't think I can get my story straight from them, or they can't get their story straight with me. I don't know.
I've got Jim's letter written in. Let me just say the last paragraph, he ends with this. Leadership in business requires taking risks, and I couldn't agree with him more. And then he states further, the BIA is confident the risk we took to publicly support the fiscal year 2010-2011 budget was the right risk to take for all businesses. I don't agree. I think it might have been the right risk to take if you were a big business, as Phil just told you, filing a Unitax form. But if you were the small guy, this certainly wasn't the one. I don't know any campground owner who thought it was a great budget. Right now I'm talking to people who own laundromats and car washes, and they don't think it was a great budget. So far, the only one that thinks it's a great budget is Jim Roche. So there's a problem there.
You know, and my dad, when I grew up, my dad always told me you can't serve two masters. You got to pick one. You know, it's very difficult. So you can't serve small business and big business at the same time. Sometimes their interests are the same, but a lot of times they are not. This is one of them. And it's because when you're looking at an overall change, you know, my personal preference in all of these cases, and I've said it in front of the legislature when I was commissioner, I'll say it now, is rather than cut taxes for any one group, you're better off cutting the overall rate. All right. And make it fair, truly fair across the board. They were always trying to think that, you know, these gimmicks would bring in the next Mercedes, which it never did. All right. And it hardly ever does. All right. So I view this as they've been winning all of these little games. You can't serve two masters. And if you actually sat down and look at it, all of the things we were talking about that may actually be loopholes, the special benefits given to large corporations would have been on the line. So they had to support something that went against the other master, the little guy, because they didn't have a seat at the table.
Gotcha. 1-866-823-1077. Phil Blatzos and Bob Clegg of the Small Business and Small Industry Association. We'll continue the conversation here. 1-866-823-1077 on Bulldog Live on the Pulse.
Bulldog Live will continue after these messages, live on the Pulse.